One of the most sacred days of traditional Christianity is Easter. How did Easter come to be observed? Why is the Easter bunny and brightly colored eggs so strongly associated with the observance of Easter? How do you get 3 days and three nights, counting from Friday afternoon, which is called Good Friday, to Sunday morning, when many believe Christ was resurrected? For the surprising answers to these and other important questions, stay tuned for our program, Easter, the Untold Story.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Welcome to the Good News Program. My name is Gary Petty. I'll be your host on the program today. And I've invited as a guest to join me a pastor in the United Church of God, Steve Myers. Welcome, Steve.
Good to be here, Gary.
You know, as I mentioned in the introduction, there is no more important day in the Christian calendar than Easter. But we have to ask ourselves, where did bunnies and colored eggs and all these other customs, what does that have to do with the biblical idea of the birth of Jesus?
Great place to start. So oftentimes people don't ask the question, what does it have to do with it? What in the world would a bunny and an Easter egg have to do with Jesus Christ being crucified?
Crucifixion instead of birth, right?
Yeah, and risen. What would that have to do with it? And, you know, it's funny. Most people never ask that question. They just go along with what they've been taught all their life and don't ask that question. So that's probably a great place to start. Why would that be? And when you look into things, it's an amazing story. Just an amazing story. You can pick up your history books and read about those things. You can pick up any source of encyclopedia, and almost every source you'd open up to the topic of Easter, and you'd probably be shocked if you've never looked into those things. There's one book called The Handbook of Christian Feasts and Customs. It says something interesting under Easter. It says Easter celebrations date back long before Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. So these are things that have been around for thousands of years, even before Christ. And so the customs, the eggs, and all those things, that particular book says it can be traced back to ancient spring celebrations surrounding Astarte, the goddess of spring and fertility. So you begin to see little windows on, well, where did eggs come from? Where did bunnies come from? And things like that. There's a professor at Boston College, a professor of philosophy. His name is Francis Weiser. He said this. He said, the origins of Easter, the Easter egg, is based on fertility lore of the Indo-European races. The Easter bunny had its origin in pre-Christian fertility lore. Hare and rabbit were the most fertile animals of our forefathers that they knew, and surviving as symbols of abundant new life in the spring season. So you can begin to see, since Christ was crucified in the spring, somehow these things all got mixed up together.
And of course, if you look at mythology in almost all cultures, the springtime, time of renewal, there's always been in all pagan cultures a concept of spring and renewal of life, and this somehow all gets tied in. But this isn't something people don't know about. I mean, it's in the newspaper every spring. It talks about the pagan origins of all these Easter celebrations. And why doesn't it matter to people? I mean, they know the history.
Right. It is amazing because even students are taught. If they're, you know, students of history, they look into what was the Babylonian culture like. And it's easy to trace all these perversions, really. Sexual immorality, fertility rites, all of those things go hand in hand. The Babylonians, the Assyrians had the goddess Ishtar, who is the goddess of fertility, and it seems that Ishtar has some relation to the word Easter, and that may be where it came from, because Ishtar symbolized Mother Earth. And so some of the New Age religions fall right into these things today. She was the goddess of love and fertility, and so they practiced ritual prostitution and all kinds of things that got associated with the springtime and then eventually got inculcated into religion as well.
It's interesting. I just read an article from a Wiccan organization, a witches organization, that was telling them to reclaim Easter and Christmas back because it was theirs to begin with.
That's what's so amazing. When you look in the history, now how in the world did that get all associated with the Bible and the truth of God? It'd be a great topic to keep talking about.
We're going to keep talking about that. We're going to be offering for you today holidays or holy days, and we'll be back to talk to you more about this subject right after this.
Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back to the Good News. We really invite you to order Holidays or Holy Days. This booklet goes through the customs of Easter, of Christmas, of Halloween, and ask very important questions. If we're serious about biblical Christianity, how important are they? Where did they come from? And are they things that Christians really should do? Now, we've been talking about the customs, where they come from, Easter eggs and Easter bunnies. And, okay, a lot of people say, oh, great, they come from thousands of years ago. It's the 21st century. We're modern people. They're Christianized now, so what does it matter?
Mm-hmm. And that's the most interesting question. So what?
Yeah.
That's what people say. Well, so what? Yeah, I know it's pagan, or I know the bunny has nothing to do with Easter, or I know Santa Claus has nothing to do with Christmas, or the eggs have nothing to do with it, but I'm doing it to honor God. That's the normal argument.
Okay, now, is there a problem with that?
Well, it matters to God. Would it be fair to say that the God that we worship is so awesome and so great that we should worship Him in the way that He wants? Or are we free to do whatever we want and He should think that's good enough? Because that's kind of the question that's posed.
Right.
And there's an interesting passage in the Bible that talks about that. It's over in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 29. God addresses that, you know, well, so what? What's the difference? And He addresses that issue here in Deuteronomy 12, 29. He says, when the Lord your God cuts you off from before the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land. So He's talking to Israel when they're going to move into this promised land. He says, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them. After they're destroyed before you, and you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will do likewise. So God initially warned the Israelites, don't pick up their traditions, don't pick up their habits, don't do what they do. Do what I tell you to do. Worship me the way that I want. Worship me the way I require. He goes on and says in verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. So God's saying, that's not worshiping me. That's not how you worship me. You worship me the way that I want. I'm the Creator. I am the Almighty, Eternal God, and I have the right to be worshipped the way that I want to, not the way that you feel like worshiping me. He goes on. He says, for every abomination to the Lord, which He hates, they've done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. So He says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. So we're kind of stuck in the situation then. If we say, well, I can incorporate all these other ideas and try to do it to honor God, God says, hey, that doesn't honor me. I am not honored by you taking these other things that were initially for some other god, Astarte or Ishtar or whatever. That does not honor me.
Okay, now those are instructions given to the ancient Israelites in the Old Testament. But obviously, there's some differences in the New Testament. The New Testament church has some different instructions than Old Testament Israel. So wasn't Easter part of that first century early New Testament church? I mean, Peter, Paul, wasn't Easter part of their experience?
It was not. But it's so interesting, when you look at the crucifixion, you look at the resurrection of Christ, you find no instruction for them to worship God on Resurrection Sunday. It's just not there. Christ is referred to as the Lamb of God. He's not referred to as the Bunny of God or any of those kinds of things. It's just not there. And so God uses different depictions. He uses a different analogy to describe what the sacrifice of Christ was. And that was He is our Passover Lamb. He's not a bunny. He's not any of those kinds of things. And he was crucified for the sins of the world. And that ties in so beautifully with the Old Testament Passover, that Christ became that lamb and he died for our sins. And so he told them to remember that observance. Remember Passover. That's what we should do. And he said we'd be happy if we do those things, rather than this paganized Easter celebration that has kind of taken over. Now, what's interesting is that certain parts of the early church wanted to incorporate as many people as they possibly could, and an easy way to do that was to say, well, you can still do what you used to do with your eggs and bunnies and all that.
Mix it together.
And we'll just put it all together, and you call it Christian.
Uh-huh.
But Christ says, hey, that doesn't honor me. That's what God says. He says you should keep the Passover, because that's what I require, not, you know, this substitute Easter celebration.
You mentioned the Passover. I want to read something. This is very fascinating. This is from the Encyclopedia Britannica. Mm-hmm. It's talking about this very same subject. It says the earliest Christians celebrated the Lord's Passover, which we know Christ kept, at the same time as the Jews. So this is the early Christians from the Scripture. They keep it at the same time as the Jews. They keep the Passover during the night of the first full moon of the first month of spring. By the middle of the second century, so this is long after Jesus' crucifixion, long after all the apostles are dead, most churches had transferred this celebration to the Sunday after the Jewish feast. But certain churches of Asia Minor clung to the older custom, for which they were denounced as Judaizing. The first ecumenical council of Nicaea in 325 decreed that all churches should observe the feast on this specific Sunday. So obviously, the early New Testament church, or the apostolic church, observed Passover. How did this get change? I mean, how do you make this jump from doing what the Lord did to doing the customs that we have today?
I think it comes down to power. It comes down to power and authority. Who has the authority? Well, some of those early church fathers felt that they had the authority to establish tradition.
Even if it was against Scripture.
Even if it was against Scripture, because they were God's representatives. And so that they could establish that. And so you had this controversy, sometimes called a quattrodeciman controversy. Should we celebrate Passover on the 14th, or do we celebrate Easter?
Quattrodeciman, what's it mean?
It means the 14th.
It's a Latin.
Right? Yes, it's a Latin word that means the 14th. So there was arguments. Do we do it on the 14th like Jesus commanded, or do we keep Easter Sunday? And so there was this tug between what was supposedly Christian and what might some people might relate to Jews or Judaism.
You know, this really seems to be one of the most fundamental concepts of Christianity. I mean, Christ says, do this in remembrance of me, not what people do.
Absolutely. And it's interesting how, well, I suppose we'll talk more thoroughly about
it. Tell you what, let's hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the good news behind the headlines.
Welcome back to the good news. We really do invite you to order this holidays or holy days. Does it really matter? Does it matter to us as Christians? You're going to find as you read through this beautifully illustrated and very detailed booklet about customs of Christmas and Easter that we all take for granted. But are they really what Christians should be doing? Which is sort of where we ended last time.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Jesus kept the Passover. We know that Jesus actually commanded his disciples to observe the Passover. The jump from Passover to Easter. Now, we've already talked about how historically that's taken place. What was the logic or the thinking behind it? How do you get from there to there?
Right. It is an amazing thing when you think about it. Where did the jump come? A lot of it comes from just the initial aspect, the way that people looked at it, that eventually traditions overtook Bible truth. And so it is amazing when you look at so many of the different customs that people have, where did they come from? And it's something that, you know, we can briefly talk about, but people, if they really want to learn, they've got to dig out their Bible. They've got to get it out, look at it, read it. They've got to look at a couple other sources to see, well, what is the history of these things? And you can begin to see where it came and how these traditional things kind of infiltrated Christianity, true Christianity, what Jesus taught. And so, you know, it's just like the serpent in the garden right at the beginning. Things started out great, and suddenly here's this bad influence there. In a similar way, I think, shortly after the resurrection, things were being influenced in the wrong way. And so it just became a mixture, just a synchronism of all these other things that infiltrated true Christianity.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of thinking Christians who have a problem. They look at Good Friday, and they look at Jesus is supposed to be resurrected on Easter morning. And then they look at this very important scripture, and this is a very amazing point where Jesus actually says, he says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, this was the sign of his messiahship. Now, you think about it. Jesus could have said, the sign of my messiahship is these miracles,
right,
or what I'm teaching. But he said, this is it. 3 days and three nights, I'm in the grave. But there's no way you can get 3 days and three nights from afternoon Good Friday to Sunday morning. So how does that jive with the very words of Christ?
Right. The only way you can do it is if the normal argument, I guess you could say, is well, it's not really literally 3 days and three nights. It would be okay just to count parts of 3 days and three nights. I think that's the traditional argument. So that if you think about it, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, yeah, that's 3 days.
You can't get the parts of two nights in there.
Right, but then you begin to add it up. Okay, well, if you add it up, well, if I counted part of Friday afternoon, right at the crucifixion, if I counted part of that, okay, I kind of got a day there. And then I've got Friday night. Then I've got Saturday day, then I've got Saturday night, and Sunday, maybe I count part of the day there. I kind of can get 3 days, but then I'm still short a night,
right,
altogether. And so it doesn't fit. Even with any explanation of how to jam 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday, it just doesn't fit. And the amazing part is Christ said that is the only sign. The only sign you're going to have is that I will be in the grave 3 days and three nights. And so how do people justify that in their own mind? Is Christ then really their Savior? Well, you know, they don't understand.
And yeah, it must be important. I mean, when Jesus says, this is it, this is the sign I'm telling you, and then that sign doesn't fit, either, I mean, a thinking Christian has to say, we have a problem. The Bible is clear that Jesus had already risen before the daylight portion of Sunday. Okay, that's in John 20, verse 1. Now, something is obviously incorrect with this common conclusion regarding when Christ was in the tomb. Jonah 1:17, which Christ refers to, states specifically, Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So there's no partial days or nights in Jonah. And that's what he uses as his argument.
Exactly.
Now, we have no reason to think these days and nights were fractional. I mean, there's nothing in the Bible to lead you to that conclusion. Nor is there any basis for thinking that Jesus meant only 2 days and, I mean, 3 days and two nights.
Right. Any combination.
Any parts of it. But such rationalization, of course, really undermines. I mean, this seems, people say, well, this isn't that important, but it really undermines the integrity of the teachings of Jesus.
That's the sign he gave.
Right.
So if Christ is our Messiah, we have to believe that sign.
Right.
We have to. And so how do we justify that? And the confusion then comes, really, when you look at John 19:31, as well as Luke 23, it begins to show us how can you fit these days in? Because so many people assume when it mentions Friday that that is the eve to the Sabbath. And they get the scripture confused there a little bit. The Sabbath they're initially talking about there is on Thursday. And that's...
How does that mean? I mean,
yeah,
Sabbath
that sounds,
is Saturday. Okay, now how's that? Explain that.
Yeah, it is kind of confusing because most people aren't familiar with the high days, the Jewish high days. And so what this Thursday was one of those high days. The holy day of the first day of unleavened bread was going to begin that evening. And so that was Thursday. That's in Luke 23:56. That's where women are coming to the Christ's body laid in the tomb, and they return to prepare spices. And so this was at that time, and that couldn't be done on that day because this was a high day. Now, people assume that was a Friday, but in actuality, it was not. That was a Thursday that was occurring. So, kind of an interesting parallel there.
Of course, these Jewish holy days that you're talking about, there were Sabbaths, there were annual Sabbaths.
That's right.
That's not something they made up. That's something that was in the Scripture. It's in Leviticus.
Absolutely right. Yeah, look at Leviticus 23. It describes all those holy days of God, God's holy days, and makes a very good description there of exactly what they were doing. So, they were keeping God's holy days. And so that's what they hurried to get Christ in the tomb before that time would begin, that holy day would begin. And so then when you look back at, Luke 23:56 begins to talk about that as well. Maybe I could turn over there. It talks about they returned to prepare spices and fragrant oils, and then it says they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now that's the next Sabbath. That's the weekly Sabbath, the Friday night, Saturday Sabbath that's talking about there. We can see that on Thursday, we see him in the tomb. Friday during the day, they're coming to do the spices, and it says they rested on the Sabbath after they did the spices. So they kept God's commandment. Interesting facts about the Sabbath keeping itself, and then as well as what their habit, their custom was during that time.
Okay, so the ladies come. This is Friday then. They had these they bought spices. They would have done this on the Sabbath, but they couldn't. In that.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to anoint him. So this is Friday.
So that's the confusing part, because there's actually two Sabbaths going on here. So we have the Thursday Sabbath, where they purchased spices but weren't able to use them. They kept the high day.
Two Sabbaths.
Then Friday during the day, they went and used the spices. Then on Friday night, Saturday is when they rested, according to the commandment. So then what begins to happen is we see there's two Sabbaths that are talked about here.
Right.
And so
the
first was the first day of unleavened bread, and that year, AD 31, that fell on a Thursday. And then the second one was the seventh day Sabbath.
So we're able to go back and actually look at the year this happened, because the way the Jewish calendar falls, that high day would shift.
Right.
Okay.
So you can begin to see, how would that occur? How could that even happen, that it works out that way? And so you can see that is the only way that it can fit into the scenario and still get 3 days and three nights.
Right.
Because from that time, you can figure it out, that would fit perfectly with the fact that Christ was laid in the tomb. Then he was resurrected right at the end of that Saturday Sabbath. And then it was the next morning that Mary went, and
we actually have a problem now with Jesus. He wasn't resurrected Sunday morning anyway. So the whole sunrise service has no historical precedent in Scripture.
That's certainly one of the problems. It's interesting that if you actually look at the Scripture, John 20, verse 1, it says that Mary and the others went there while it was still dark. So it wasn't even daylight yet when they went there. So even the Easter sunrise service...
And he was gone already.
Yeah, he's not even there. So he's gone. And so it's interesting. He had to have already been resurrected. And so it's an amazing thing when you see the days and nights fit with that scenario. They fit. They fit perfectly. You don't have to try to compromise. Well, you only take part of this day and part of that night and try to work it out. Because it fits with the scenario of that crucifixion on a Wednesday rather than trying to stuff it into Friday to Sunday. Then you perfectly, 3 days and three nights at the end of that Sabbath, Jesus Christ was resurrected. And then that next morning they went and he's not there.
Which really now helps us truly understand Jesus as the Messiah. I mean, this is important. It is his proof. Well, not
exactly.
Our proof, not somebody else's proof. It's his proof.
And you don't have to fudge.
Right.
You don't have to try to make it work. You can literally look and mathematically work it out.
Right.
And you can see, yes, Christ is our Messiah because he was crucified on the Wednesday, was risen that Saturday evening.
You would like to study this chart? When you order holidays or holy days, it's right in this booklet. You can get out the chart. You can don't take our word for it.
Absolutely.
Look in the chart, study the scripture, and you will find there's a flaw in the Good Friday to Easter concept. On this Good News program, we have discussed the subject of the true origins of Easter. We also covered the proof of Christ as the Messiah and exactly when he was buried and when he was resurrected. What we have covered today may surprise many, but the truth is the truth. I encourage you to look into the Bible for yourself and discover the things we have discussed. As creatures of habit, we can find ourselves following traditions that are contrary to God's instructions. The Bible is clear, and we must follow our Creator's directions in regard to His truths and how we are to worship Him. And I want to thank Steve once again. Great having you on the program.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Why were you born? Well, there's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The number again is 1-800-966-9232, or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.